In just moments, we're going to talk to Andrew Siciliano, get a Cleveland preview. Real quick, so let's do a test because this is a hot topic. The three of us just ordered Five Guys. B is eating healthy. He's got all sorts of food here. Shout out, I think this is Marymount University sent us hats, baseball hats. These are dope. I also got this dope ESPN bet hat. I'm raking in the hats right now. I got a little cheeseburger. I'm not fighting that fight anymore. You want to call it little, it's stupid, but fine. I got a little one. I think they both got regular ones, and we're splitting one order of large fries. Mm-hmm. What do we think the total is, B? Apparently.
Two burgers.
Three burgers.
I'm going to go with $55.
Damn. I don't know.
How much is it?
I don't know. Landfill ordered. I'm guessing $47.
I'm looking at the burgers about $15 apiece.
Not a little one. Not a regular one. If you just eat one patty.
There's going to be $15.75.
Is a burger for real $15 at Five Guys?
Yeah.
All right, Landy.
And the fries, and then somebody going to pick it up, or they delivering it?
Jeff's going to pick it up.
It's $48 with tax.
I nailed that.
Yeah.
Bang. How much is your burger?
$13.19.
So that's, you got a two patties and bacon, right?
Yes, yeah.
But after you tip, $55.
You think Jeff's tipping when he walks over there?
Yeah, he look both ways across the street. You'll be safe.
I was just about to say that.
People did love the song, Jeff. Tailgate Ted says, Jeff, you are making banger after banger each week. That was the best one yet.
Appreciate that, Ted.
Ted has a suggestion for us, B, which I think we both might sign off on.
What is it?
He says that JP and B Mitch can leave the last hour of the show and just play Jeff's song on repeat.
You know I'm with that.
I think everybody's with that except Chris Kynard, the cluster buster.
He's not gonna be here.
Where's he going?
He's gonna hang out with Grant and Danny.
If you want to hang out with Grant and Danny, they have a remote this afternoon at Atlas Brew Works in Alexandria. Friday afternoon at a brew pub. Sounds kind of dope. In a minute or two here, we're expecting to hear from Andrew Siciliano. NFL Network now does the Browns radio call.
All right.
You know, Ahmed texted about this earlier. I keep getting this question everywhere I am. At what point? I think the Devontae Adams thing is so specific to New York, to the Jets, that it's like not really relevant discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be other players. I mean, depending what you believe, maybe Tyreek's getting tired of this Miami situation. There will be other players, right? And the trade deadline is the end of the month. At what point do you think Adam Peters, whatever it is, have to realize, CK just sent in all caps, I am not with that. At what point do you think becoming a buyer at the trade deadline is the right move?
If he decides that this team is in a position where that one piece is going to help him get somewhere, that they're ahead of schedule, he can do that. If he doesn't seem that way, then he doesn't have to worry about that. Because, you know, what we have to understand is, as fans, we just want everything that moves. He has a plan of what he wants to do.
Sure.
And, you know, if things are ahead of schedule and it's probably he can make a move, yes. But he also got to make sure he does things that's going to be financially responsible for the plans he has moving forward.
Right. You get to a point where you try to thread the needle if, we might be legit. This might be the squad, and then maybe you want to add. I don't think they're there yet, and I think their goals are longer term.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the reality is right now, what has really changed is that you added a kid that looks like he's a star.
You know what kills me, though? Everybody complains about Dan, but every time somebody comes free, they want everybody here now to act like that.
That's a
you know what
point.
I'm saying? Please, yeah. If you're going to complain about him, don't expect everybody to work like he did.
Let's get to the BetQL guest line and welcome in our friend Andrew Siciliano. Yo, what's up, man? How are you?
Yeah, JP, Mitch, how are you guys? Sorry,
you're doing good, man.
Through security at LAX. Sincere apologies,
dude. All good, all right, man.
We understand that.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't have to say security. It's LAX.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. How are you guys? Everything good?
We are doing well, man. We are doing well. I imagine you got to be kind of excited to come back home this weekend.
I am very, very, very excited because, yeah, man, this is like little kid's dream come true. Are you kidding me? Like, grew up there, get to come home, get to go to, what do we call it now, Northwest?
Northwest Stadium.
Yeah,
that's right.
Northwest, exactly. Sorry, guys, taking my earbuds out. This works a lot better. Dude, I'm excited. Like, for those who don't know, I grew up at Reston, went to South Lakes, but my dad's from Cleveland, so we were raised Browns fans, even though the Skins back then were winning Super Bowls, you know, every other week, and we were supposed to root for them, and we did, but my dad made us Browns fans, so, like, this is, like, the coolest thing of all time, honestly. So family's going to be there, get to come home, and hopefully get to have a good game, you know? Yeah. Hopefully this is a good one.
What's been your perception of what's been going on here with Jaden Daniels?
Honestly, I couldn't be happier for the fan base and for everyone that's kind of been wandering through the football desert for the last 20 years. I think it's kind of like what we had here in LA. I've been here 25 years now. And when I got here, I realized we kind of lost a whole generation of fans between like 2000 and 17 or 16 when the Rams and the Chargers came back, because like you had this entire generation that didn't have a team to root for. And they just watched fantasy football on Sunday Ticket. And I realized that's an extreme. That's not exactly what we had there, but you had enough apathy, right? Where you kind of lost a generation, you know, kids played fantasy football, didn't root for the hometown team. And now Jaden Daniels. And look, I know we went through this in 2012 with RG3 briefly. And this kind of sort of feels like that, but I think this has a lot more staying power. And what Jaden is doing is historic. Don't want to get too excited. It's only 4 weeks, but you guys have seen it firsthand. It's not just the play, but it's the attitude. It's the leadership. It's everything else he brings in and out of the building. It's special, and, you know, it's exactly what this team and this town needs.
It really is, man. It's been like we did an hour of calls of how confident people are. And you know well enough that folks in this town generally ain't that confident about the old burgundy and gold. And it is changing, man. It's changing now. It's changing fast. It's changing before our eyes. But, dude, I want to lean on – I mean, all the work you're doing with the Browns now, you know the Browns. And that defense was excellent last year. They're still good, but it doesn't seem to be the same as it looked last season. What's coming to town in this Cleveland team?
You know, it's a good question. The defense is still good, and they have still had plenty of great moments, particularly in the second half. Like, you look what they did second half week one against the Cowboys. Now, granted, they gave up a couple of explosives in the first half. Second half, they shut them down. And in that game, the Cowboys had 4 field goal drives that totaled, I think, 50 yards.
Wow.
In the second half against the Giants, yes, Malik Nabers, and those points still count, and that's the issue. Yes, Malik Nabers had 2 touchdowns in the first half, but the second half, they totally shut them down. And the same last week goes for the Raiders. For the most part, in the fourth quarter, they kept getting off the field, shutting them down. But the problem is the offense hasn't done enough after the first drive. They have points. I know the Commanders, 16 straight drives, that's amazing. Yay. They're not there. The Browns aren't there. But they do have scoring drives on their opening drive. In all 5 games. Last week, opening drive, they went 15 plays, 70 yards, took 9.5 off the clock. That's absurd. But after that opening drive, they got nothing. And the defense, or rather the offense, goes to sleep in the second and third quarter. Fourth quarter, they've had chances each of the last 2 weeks. Both the Raiders and the Giants, in essence, handed them the game in each of the last 2 weeks in the fourth quarter, and the offense couldn't do anything. Now they had an 82-yard touchdown call back last week on a highly suspect holding call. So if you pretend that didn't happen, then, well, you can't. But if you did, then, yeah, Deshaun Watson by far played his best game in a Browns uniform. And things are looking up. But they need the defense to create turnovers, score points, and give them short fields more often than they're doing.
Is it a dependence on the defense more than the offense being able to just hold their part?
No, so far it's on the offense, Brian. Like, if you look at the numbers – I mean, they're at the bottom of the league, and at least the bottom 3 or 4 in a whole bunch of categories. The offensive efficiency isn't there. Third down isn't there. First down, I mean, they're rushing for only 3 yards. No, the problem right now is offense, and the problem for a huge part of it is the offensive line. They've been just destroyed by injuries on the offensive line. It's a rotating door every week as to who's coming in and who's coming out. And regardless of who is playing on the O-line, and I think they're getting healthier this week, they're having a lot of trouble picking up simple games, stunts, twists, any games up front, and teams are blitzing them to death, and they're getting to Deshaun on the money downs, and that's a massive issue. People want to give Deshaun grief for not at least throwing the ball into the end zone on 4th and 3 last week with the game on the line. Christian Wilkins beats a rookie right guard off the line at the snap and blows the play up. You got to give him some credit as well.
What is the latest? We're talking with our friend Andrew Siciliano. You can listen to him this weekend calling the game for the Browns Radio Network. Obviously, we all watched Andrew do DirecTV Red Zone Channel for years and years and years. Dude, what's the deal with Nick Chubb? Do you think he's playing this week? Is it still too early in that process?
Yeah, I think it's too early. I don't know for certain. Stefanski talks within the next hour. I'd be very surprised if he plays this week. They opened the window Wednesday, so his first practice was, 48 hours ago. I'd be stunned if he's out there this week. I wouldn't be that surprised if he's out there next week. But they're not going to open up that 21-day window unless they think that he is close. But I think the emotional lift he gave this team this week in the building cannot be overstated. What is that worth on Sunday? That remains to be seen. But he is citizen number one and fan favorite number one. He can do no wrong, and his work ethic and his understated energy changes a lot for that team.
I bet. And obviously, as good of a player as Chubb is, arguably the best defensive player in football is on that Browns D-line. Where is Myles Garrett? I know he's been on the injury report. I also know he had 2 sacks last week.
After being on it.
Right. Where is Garrett's game right now, and how big of a threat is he Sunday?
He's as big of a threat as he's ever been, and he's got 3 injuries. Well, I think we're calling it foot, thigh, and Achilles, or foot, thigh, and ankle. I can't remember. He has 4 sacks, and he's a force. And I think the frustrating part about that 82-yard touchdown call back last week when they got the center, Nick Harris, on a hold is that Myles Garrett is held probably 5 to 6 times in far more egregious fashion every game that is not called. He's held on every play, especially on every third down. He still has 4 sacks, and he is playing with multiple injuries, including an injury to his feet. He had childhood foot issues. He had surgery as a kid on his feet, and that's kind of now coming full circle where he may have to do something again after the season. He's practicing pretty much one day a week and then going out there and toughing it out and still – getting PFF grades for whatever that's worth of 90 seemingly every week. So he's still the guy.
How's the secondary in Cleveland?
Well, I mean, they're missing Juan Thornhill, the safety who got hurt week 1, who probably played the former chief, the UVA guy, who probably played his best game as a Brown week 1 against the Cowboys. And we haven't seen him since. He's probably back in a week or two. I'm just guessing. It was a calf. Look, they have 3 excellent corners. They would argue they have the best trio of corners in the NFL with Denzel Ward and Greg Newsome and Martin Emerson, MJ Emerson. Emerson's been picked on a little bit the last 2 weeks. He is a long, physical dude who, for example, has had great games against Mike Evans, right? Great games against Jamar Chase. That's his game. That's why you have him. Malik Nabers gave him some trouble. Little speedy guys like Trey Tucker gave him some trouble last week. But for the most part, they think – those 3 dudes are dudes, but they miss Juan Thornhill.
Thornhill's a good player, but, I mean, Ward is so good. Flip it to the other side of the field for us. Cooper and Judy, Watson hasn't really gotten it going much, but, I do think, although they were better last week, the Commander secondary is quite beatable. What's the health and the status kind of Is Njoku back? Like, what is the threat level of this Browns aerial attack?
So Njoku will know again in an hour. He practiced Wednesday, didn't practice Thursday. So we'll see. Honestly, I have no read on that one. The offense is better with him, period. The offense is a bit different this year with Ken Dorsey, but in the Stefanski, I don't want to call it pure Shanahan system, but, you know, everything runs to the tight end, so everything is better when he is out there. Amari Cooper is still Amari Cooper, but he's got a lot of drops, and he has been an issue this year. Not an issue like he's some kind of malcontent who's bringing the team down, but he and Deshaun have not gotten on the same page. They've said that repeatedly. When last Deshaun Watson and Amari Cooper were at FedEx, he had a couple of touchdowns. I think it was a Week 18 game a few years ago when Deshaun had come back late in the year after the suspension. I was watching some of that this morning, and we haven't seen those 15, 20-yard in cuts and those deep shots downfield from him this year. We simply haven't. Last week, he had a 30-yard ball in his hands on his chest at the 30-yard line in the fourth quarter that would have changed the game. The Browns probably win. It was one of Deshaun's better balls of the season, and it bounced right off his hands up into the air. Trayvon Merrick picked it off, took it back to midfield. 6 plays later, the Raiders scored. It hasn't worked yet, necessarily, but yet he has 2 touchdowns, which is the team high. Jerry Jeudy has been great. Everybody gave them grief when they traded for and then paid Jerry Jeudy. In retrospect, the contract that they gave him was before all the other receiver deals blew up this summer and looks like a bargain in retrospect.
So Deshaun, what were you – he gets all the blame, we know that. But is it him not being what he was, or he's not getting enough help?
I think, honestly, it's a lot, Brian. I think a lot goes back to the O-line as well, and I'm not blaming the O-line because you go back and you look at some tape and you're like, all right, how does Deshaun not see that? He's got to rip that one. The O-line, just the injuries, it's been a mess from day one, whether it's not having Jed Wills back or not having Jack Conklin back, or then they do come back, and then that last 5 minutes because you get hurt again, or DeJuan Jones, who is toughing it out, who was all rookie team at right tackle last year. He had offseason knee surgery as well. He comes back, he's ready to go week one, but clearly the knee's not right and he's a bigger dude. So it's a lot of weight being carried around on that knee, struggling in pass pro. You're working at a new offense where Stefanski and Ken Dorsey try to get on the same page together. And I think it looks good, but you're going a lot empty, 5 wide, no one to help this offensive line that's struggling with injuries. So it's been a challenge. Let's put it that way. But of course, as you know, the quarterback always gets the point.
Yeah, I mean, the Watson thing has just become so bizarre at this point. I mean, losing Wyatt Teller has to be a huge situation, right?
I'm sorry, say that again, JP.
Didn't they lose Teller? Didn't he have to go to IR also?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Virginia Tech's Wyatt. I'm sorry, someone just walked by.
All good.
Wyatt Teller, yeah. He's got an MCL. He got hurt against the Giants, and that really, I mean, that turned everything into, like, chaos emergency. When he left, and then you had your center lead. No, your center get banged up. I won't bore you with the O-line issues, but at that point you had Joel Bitonio playing left tackle. You had your center playing left guard. You had your backup center playing center. You had a rookie playing right guard. And then you had your right tackle who had left the game injured, forced back onto the field because they had no bodies left.
Jeez.
And that was all dominoes that kind of started when Wyatt Teller got hurt in that game. So he is not there. And again, you have Jack Zinner, who the Browns love, you know, third-round pick out of Michigan, who was playing great last year for the national champions before he broke his leg against Ohio State. They took him as more of a developmental pick, coming back off the injury. In Jacksonville, week two, they used him as the sixth offensive lineman, used him in jumbo sets, really as a tight end, and it worked great. But then they forced him to start with a Teller injury. It's he's getting there, but they probably didn't, you know, see him starting key road games in September as a rookie.
Hey, man, I really appreciate you making time for us. I know you're traveling and a busy fella. And I'll see you Sunday, man. That'll be fun.
I am looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to beautiful weather. And, it's good to be back home, guys. Can't wait to see you.
All right, man.
Take care. Andrew Siciliano, follow him on Twitter. I sent some stuff out. You can find it. It's Siciliano. Next, we're giving away Thomas Rhett tickets and making some predictions. B. Mitchell Finley on a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. I've been teasing it all day. Hope you're fired up. Right now is when you can win tickets to Thomas Rhett. 800-636-1067, caller number 10. You win a pair of tickets to go see Thomas Rhett, Better in Boots Tour, Friday, August 22nd, 2025 at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events. All right, tickets are there for you. B, we got injury news, and I'm not sure how great it is. Dan Quinn addressing the media in just moments ago. Remember I said it was a little weird that Noah Brown wasn't on the injury report, and then he was?
Uh-huh.
Noah Brown is out for Sunday's game against Cleveland Browns. Not great. Clelin Ferrell still working his way back from the knee. Quinn had said they were hoping to get him back this week. He's out for Sunday's game against the Cleveland Browns. Hey, that's the
next man up, baby.
Here's the good news. Austin Ekeler cleared from concussion protocol. Ekeler will play Sunday.
Kind of felt that.
Brian Robinson, though, this one's a little more interesting. DQ says B-Rob is trending the right way, but they're going to take it all the way to game time. It'll be a true game time decision.
Okay.
The interesting part of that, I think, like you mentioned, you probably want to elevate Chris Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
We'll know Saturday night if they do that,
mm-hmm.
Which will tell you something. Knowing Brown is out, Eckler's in, what do you think the net effect is on that offense?
I think Eckler is a more vital part of it, and I think what you got to realize is that in the last games, Zacchaeus and De'Ami Brown made crucial catches down the stretch. Luke has started to come on. So I think you have enough receiver-wise to fill in for what you're missing with Brown. But then Eckler coming back is a hell of a plus.
What do you make of the B-Rob situation?
B-Rob situation, until B-Rob not dressing out on Sunday, I think he's dressing out.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just some people you just look at differently. You know, after the game, I saw him, and like we said, they sent him on the show with us yesterday. I have a feeling that he may still be playing.
B-Rob's still playing. I agree with you. That's where I lean as well. Do you think he'll be impacted by the knee?
I think B-Rob.
How do you balance that as a pro?
He played 5 years with Nick Saban. As a pro, if you're on the football field, you know nobody's going to give you no excuse. So you're going to go all out until you can't go anymore. So if he's on the field, you're going to get what you see.
I think that's fair. It's going to be really interesting. No Noah Brown. Eckler's back. B-Rob game time. Clelin Ferrell won't play either. At a certain point, you wonder, you're not going to do it now, but if you want to retroactively throw Ferrell on the IR because you could have had another roster spot. Mm-hmm. But, dude, the roster spot stuff in the world of expanded practice squads and Saturday elevations, it's not as cutthroat as it used to be.
It's not like it used to be.
If you had a dude miss 3 games in the old system, the pre-COVID system, you're really hurting your team
mm-hmm.
to not IR him or whatever. That's just a lot different now. Landini, Noah Brown's out. That caught your eye when I said it. Does that concern you?
Yes. I think that he's been pretty good for the team so far this year. And, you know, we all thought that wide receiver was a weakness for him. They can't really afford to lose guys there. They don't have a lot of depth.
No. I think you'd like to see more for Luke this week. Maybe more for De'Ami, like you mentioned. They have another dude with the last name Brown on the roster. Maybe he can step up. I think they'll count on Ertz a lot. You know that Ertz is the leading this team in catches? Not yards, but catches.
I can believe that.
Actually, I'm sorry. It's Terry. Ertz is second.
Yeah.
Terry right now, 19 catches for 191 yards, 2 touchdowns. Terry is the only receiver that has caught a touchdown.
Yeah, he's thrown, just 3 or 4?
He's thrown 3.
Yeah.
Who is your other pass catcher touchdown?
Eckler?
Nope.
I mean, the tight end, the offensive lineman, Big Trent.
Big Trent.
Trent and B-Rob?
No, there's only 3 passing touchdowns.
You said Terry got two of them. That's right.
Terry got two of them. Yeah, Big Trent got
Big
the
Trent.
Other.
Yeah.
Noah Brown to me is more of a blow in this game than maybe it would have been in the previous because their corners are really good, and he gives them something different with the size and the speed, and he's kind of shown that he can make big catches when the ball comes his way. Obviously, he made the huge one in the Giants game at home on that option route where he broke it in, and it was a big gain to get the game-winning field goal. He also had a big catch last week, 3rd and 13, and he picks up a 14-yard gain. Like that stuff really matters, and that is a veteran receiver with a big body that knows how to play it to the sticks, get past the sticks, make sure you're going forward there. So that's kind of the news of the day here. Eckler's back, B-Rob's game-time decision. Noah Brown is out for this week. They do spread the ball around so much. 9 different players caught passes last week. So I don't know that
that's what I'm saying.
So it doesn't bury you.
The fact that they're not a team that, we're going to just throw it to these 2-3 people all the time, the fact that they spread it around, I think, still helps them with having so many guys out there that can still
totally agree.
Be an impact.
Farrell's out again. Another little bit of news that the team just announced. Dan Quinn is not a guy that makes season-long captains, right? He told us that in August or whatever. They go week-to-week captains. For the first time in his NFL career, Jaden Daniels will be captain Sunday against the Browns. That's pretty cool.
It's cool, but
I think fans should get there early enough so that when he walks out, you can go nuts for him.
But the thing about it, I promise you, he'll probably walk out there with the rest of the captains and kind of lag behind. That's just his personality.
Totally.
You know, because, like, you walk out there, you shake hands, heads or tail, they going to call it because they're the visiting team, and you dap them up and you run back off. When I was in college, the way I would do it, I would walk up, let the other guys get all the hype, and I was damn near at the sideline before they were finished. You know, I mean, it's like if you never done it, I'm sure he's been one in college and all.
I'm sure,
but if you are a guy with his personality, you're like sometimes like, I'm ready. I got to focus on the game. I'm not worried about all that. And a lot of guys think that way.
Week 5 captains for the Commanders, Jaden Daniels, Dorrance Armstrong, Jeremy Chinn. That is 3 dudes that I thought were playing really well last week. Daniels has been great throughout. Armstrong impressed me because it was time for him to show up, and he showed up.
Yeah, he did.
Chinn was quite good last week.
He wanted that 2 instead of that 1.5.
Yeah. You know, when Witt keeps talking about playing violently, that's Chinn, man. There are going to be games, frankly, where I think it'll hurt you in coverage, but you take the good with the bad, and when that dude's coming downhill, he is a big fella to be able to move like that.
You talk to him, you go, this is a nice dude. Then you watch him on the field, you go, this dude here is wild.
Totally.
Like Andre said, that's a wild boy.
That's a wild boy. I mean, Chinn's size, 6'3", they list him at 220. If he was 230, I wouldn't be shocked. He is jacked.
Man, that's Steve Atwater's nephew, bro.
Bro, and he runs, man. I wonder what his combine numbers were. What's your guess on his 40?
4.5, 4.57.
Okay, I'm pulling it up. Jeremy Chinn at the combine came in Southern Illinois, too. I believe that's the Salukis. 6'3", 221, 32-inch arms, 4.45.
I see.
You said 4.57.
Four, five.
Yeah.
Right,
cool. Yo, the 10-yard split, 1.53.
All right.
Vertical jump, 41 inches.
Damn.
Dude, the athleticism of these guys is just absurd. And to the point about him being jacked, what their bench is 225, right? 20 times for a safety, for a DB. That's a physical player. They want him going downhill. Yeah. He is going downhill. We're only going up, baby. Jeff Walker's song when we return.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The NFL is flying by, but you still have time to start the season with a big return on FanDuel. America's number one sportsbook. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. As the game comes up this weekend, as the Commanders take on the Cleveland Browns. We can go anytime touchdown, Austin Eckler, he's back. Over rushing yards, let's go with Jaden Daniels. And also under passing yards, we'll go with Deshaun Watson. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to make every moment more this season. That's FanDuel.com/Brian. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
B. Mitchell Finley, Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. We've been talking about football for hours. All of our football coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, you get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. I was talking with my daughter at bedtime last night, and she was telling me how she has some trouble with certain words because she's five. And I told her how I have trouble with slash switch. And then she tried to say it and also had trouble. So I have the same vocabulary as a five-year-old.
I guarantee she's better than you.
So we're going to get to Jeff's song in just a moment here. I did want to, Landini, to get the folks excited, I thought the Micah Parsons stuff. So it's kind of interesting how many players now have their own podcast in season. And I guess you were kind of at the forefront of this, B, doing radio in season as a player. Parsons obviously has a podcast. He ain't playing right now. He's hurt. The number one topic across the NFL is Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons talking about Jaden Daniels.
It seems like we got another threat in our division, bro. We got another threat, bro. I just can't believe it. It's like,
that boy nice.
He's serious.
That man.
Bro, he clicking. Over 80% completion rate, bro.
That boy's something else. Now, he ain't went to hospital for nothing. And look, but Washington found the one. They found them one. But I'm like, God, I knew he was a guy, though. You know what I'm saying? I knew he was a guy, and he doing his thing.
Yeah, bro, I always say that, bro. If you could succeed at some level in college, especially like when you've been through adversity in college the way he did, like you got a bunch of like experience. Like he got a bunch of experience already coming in. Like he ain't coming in young. You feel me? Like he done seen a lot.
Facts. And he come from that SEC ball. We way better than the Penn State type of conference. Y'all weak ass conference y'all in. He in the SEC, so he playing good ball. Okay.
Little Penn State jab there. I think that was Darius Slay talking with Micah Parsons. It's
Darius Slay sounded a little bit like Chad Ochocinco, didn't he?
Maybe a little, yeah. That's funny.
I was like, damn, that Ocho?
It's crazy to be at the Cool Kids Club for Commanders fans. Commanders fans have been sitting at the nerd table at lunch for decades. Like you just watch all these stud quarterbacks everywhere else, and then you watch whatever Washington's been rolling out for decades. And Jaden's the talk of the town. He's wearing burgundy and gold. People call him five. You can call him five. It's pretty freaking cool if you're a Commanders fan to be enjoying this moment. Nobody's, you know, quote Dennis Green, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. Nobody's crowning anybody right now. But you're allowed to enjoy this ride, man. Speaking of enjoying this ride, Jeffrey, the floor is yours.
There we go. Back with another banger. Hey, let's get this pumping. I want to hear this at every tailgate this weekend. It's on SoundCloud. You can go and get it, listen to it. You can download it. Raise five. I mean, week hell. Week five, raise hell.
Did you stop somewhere on your way to go get that food from my Five Guys?
These boys been winning. Salute all the fans repping it on the road. But now, it's time to raise hell. In our house. Now they talking about my QB and MVP. Put them with the league on notice, round 42. Now they can't keep us off TV. Every time we play them haters, say just wait.
Get your left hand up. I got it up. I got it up. Get your left hand up. I got it up. I got it up.
See, them boys took their play to a new level. Now we gotta take our fandom to a new level. So this Sunday, we need to really rain hell and take their Cleveland Browns to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean.
Jeff, that's so. I don't. The first time we played it, maybe I didn't have my headphones in or something. I didn't hear the open. That open, like your first couple bars in that, are really hard. Like that's really thanks, good, dude. That's really good. It also in the opening chorus there, it yells, "We got it up. I got it up." It almost feels like a Blue Chew ad. Like there's so much frequency with which they're discussing getting it up. But shout out to you, man. You do your thing. Jeff.
Something wrong with that, man.
What thing is all of us doing right now? We're taking what? This little test we got to fill out?
Oh, yeah.
Does he not know anything he's he ever writes, that he ever looks at? He's failed every damn thing I've seen already.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. He's an NFL legend. You get to ask him anything you want. Oh, time boy. For Ask B. Mitch Anything. Then Eric Metcalf joins us at 1:30.